In verse, turn me down just a little bit, I think. Acts chapter 3, verse, let's say 12, okay? 12. And then I'm going to start this video and we'll get into that. All right. Remember this. Okay, Peter and John are going up to the temple. You know this. We're going to cover this again. I just make a note right here if you make notes or if you go back and listen to this on audio or video. You can be as anointed. You can be as called. You can be sent. God can tell you, I mean, God could be working in your life big as anybody in the world. There's probably no two bigger characters in the Scriptures, especially in the Gospels, than Peter and John, right? No bigger people in the Scriptures. They're going up to the temple. We understand it's a mission field now. They're going up there. But one thing you got to understand, you can be called, anointed, everything, but if you don't do the will of God, if you're not operating in the will of God, let me go ahead and make this really, really clear. If you're not focused on the main thing that God's focused on, the main thing God's focused on is souls. The main thing God is focused on is seeing souls saved and lives changed. So you can be just as anointed as you want to be, and I preach this, but then this thing, once you start taking the lens out and looking at it as a broader Scriptures, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, going into Acts chapter 5, you see that they needed this man, and we need the people we're going to minister to. We need them. God needs them. Amen? So it doesn't matter how anointed, there's another thing I want to say right there, is it's not about us. After we get saved, it's really not about us so much. So that makes, let's just say so much. Because God does care about you. God is involved with you. He wants the best for you. But what really comes down to is the focus is then changing to other people. All right? And you need to have a focus on, I guess this would be my thought, is God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear the people that you want me to reach for your kingdom, right, and for the furtherance of your kingdom, okay? Now we think about the paralyzed man. This guy has been on my mind so much. I mean, I think about this scripture and think about this gentleman over and over and over. He's paralyzed. Paralytic, being a paralyzed person, will stunt you on every level of life. You just think about every level of life. Not only can he not move, but he can't work. Probably hasn't been married, haven't had a relationship with a woman. Amen? Never been on a date. Never been in social, incorrect, what we would call correct social arenas. Does that make sense to you? He's not just paralyzed in the physical. He would have been paralyzed in every level of life. I want you to think about that. Sometimes when we read these scriptures and I just kind of go through them, I'm thinking, paralyzed, right? Hey, well, he just can't walk or he can't move. And then you go on to like, okay, normal, right? And if you really get to thinking about it, man, what a perspective his life is, right? Dependent, totally dependent on everybody else. Every day thinking, I was thinking, like somebody's coming to get me today. So today I'm going to get myself and I scoot myself over the edge of the bed and I kind of get my legs out and get ready and I'm going to do everything I can to help them help me but eventually they get me down to the spot where I'm going to be. I better get my cup, right? I better get my plate, my bowl, my receptacle for money, right? Y'all we might not make it to Acts chapter 3, verse 12. I don't know. I hope so. But y'all, we'll come back next Wednesday if the Lord allows us to be here. But I'm stuck on this. I'm thinking to myself, man, we're in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, starting now. When you start thinking about this concept, like, all right, well, I got to make sure we get the bowl, right? We'll make sure we get the cup. We'll make sure we get the thing that I'm going to be begging with. I mean, that's life every day now. That's everything I got's right there, right? Getting my ride down there, getting set up, begging, right? And now all of his expectations are what? I wonder how many people are going to come by today. I wonder how many people that are going to the temple are going to come by, and I wonder how many of them are going to give to me. Can we stay right here just for a moment? Y'all just bear with me. Think about this. How many people do you think go to that temple, seen him on a regular daily basis, looked at him and went, not today, man. We've done this over and over and over with this guy. He's been out here every day. Are y'all right? Because let's be real. Because sometimes it will help somebody. We'll do what we can. But if it become an everyday, all day thing, I would almost think somebody would think, man, you know, we could probably get there a little bit early. We won't be there. We'll get around a little. We'll go a little bit different way. And if at the worst case scenario, when we get close, you just start talking to me. Y'all, I'm serious. There's a lot more to this than just a man was paralyzed and he laid outside the gate beautiful, right? There's a lot of things going on. Then we get into the church, the temple, the religious people. They're paralyzed. You're like, what? They're not paralyzed, Kevin. They don't say that. Yes, they are. They're trying to get a hold of God when God has literally changed from what he was doing and he's no longer where he was. He's not in the law. He's not in the sacrifice. He gave his only begotten son as a sacrifice. He's really into that. Right? He's really into that. You would be into that too. If you sacrifice your only begotten son for whosoever, right, whosoever believeth, they have eternal life. Praise God. You don't want to hear anything else about any other kind of doctrine. You don't want to hear somebody, but you know what? I've done pretty good. I haven't lied. I haven't stolen. Right? And I made it up to temple, and I gave my sheep, and I gave my two turtle doves. Because what I would hear coming over the top if it was me, and I know God ain't me, I would say, I gave my son for you. Get to that. Y'all good? So that church is paralyzed. They're trying to find God in something, and he's not. I'm afraid sometimes we do that as church today. We find something that works. We try to duplicate that. I've preached this, probably 8 times I know of. Do you know that when they lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the brazen alt, the serpent, and they lifted it up, and if you look at it, because it snake bit them, they lifted it up, they were healed, remember? And then Jesus said in John chapter 3, like the serpent, you'll lift me up, and whoever looks unto me, which he means whoever believes in me, will be saved and forgiven, and what's bit you, sin, right? But guess what they did in the Old Testament, and even into the early New Testament? They found that brazen, that snake in the pole. And they began to worship it. It's the first church of the snake and pole. It's not. I just made that up. I just want to see some of you laugh. Right? But it's just amazing. We'll do that. Well, man, God was in that or God was in this. And I know that's why God did. He healed people and done stuff different every time. Because if I don't, they're going to fall in love with the method instead of the way the person who did it. Right? All right, so that gets us, I hope, man. I'm just so excited about this. I really am. I'm almost becoming what I would thought was, watered down would be the best word. When I was a young preacher, somebody'd say, well, I'm preaching a series, and I'd say, yo, overeducated, stuffed up, you don't allow the Holy Spirit to do anything with you. I was ignorant. Amen? Because you know what we do? If you preach in a series and you do it right, the Holy Spirit gets in it every single time, but you can get deeper and more entwined in the Word of God, and I think it's better because we're not just, well, we're blessed, move on, and a lot of times you don't even know what you heard. I don't want to say that. Y'all get mad at me. But so what was the message about? I don't know. It was great. What was it about? I don't know. What was it? I don't know. What'd you like about it? It was about 25 minutes. Never mind, I'll get that later. That was a bad joke. I'm sorry. I'm trying all my bad jokes tonight. Acts chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power, holiness, we made this man to walk? Y'all see that? Remember when I told y'all, when I started last Tuesday, I told you guys, that's Acts chapter 3, verse 12. I told y'all that I used to preach that this guy, you know, you got to be careful when you're going somewhere and you run into somebody, that becomes more, you know, you don't want to worry about getting to A to B, you want to see the people in between. You know what, if I just kept reading the whole scripture and really praying about this, that's absolutely like, it comes full circle. That is exactly right. This guy becomes the whole platform for the next 3, 4, 5 chapters, but I don't even know, this could have played out for weeks, maybe even a month. Amen? Y'all think about this, okay? This could have went out for months, but I know for a fact it went out for weeks or days, okay? Because sometimes we read the scripture, we think, oh, well, it took us, what, 10 minutes to get through it, so it must have waited about, what, 6 hours, right? No, this is days, okay? This is days of happening. This is days, and we live in a different kind of culture. This is third world country, so guess what? Something happens here, it's got to go throughout the people and spread. Right? By word of mouth. They didn't call each other. They didn't text each other. They didn't Instagram. They didn't Facebook. So-and-so, can you believe this? This guy, they come and they healed him, and he's jumping and leaping and praising in the temple, right? And then that got, you know, from one group to another group. Now, it spreads pretty fast, I would say, right? But it still got it. You're thinking about days. And let me stop there and go back. I kept saying this about this man. He's a miracle, right? He is the miracle that John and Peter needed to let them in, kind of like a platform, right, to go into the temple where they weren't going in just fighting, right? They went in with a miracle, all right? Now, you might want to write this down. That you minister to your miracles. I'm not just doing that for catchy bumper things. I'm telling you, listen, you'll be surprised that the people that you minister to, people that you witness to, people that you win to the Lord, and Christians you help grow will eventually be something that helps your ministry, helps you. Let me just go ahead and put it out there. It'll validate you. It'll validate you. And you don't have to be validated by the world, but I'm telling you, it's hard. It's hard to argue if you're standing there with some people that the whole world went, they'll never get right. And they're standing there right, okay? If somebody's been on drugs their whole life, but you prayed, you witnessed, and you went, and all of a sudden they're standing in church, and they're living right, and they're staying married, and they're doing all of a sudden, and all of a sudden you're going, well, I just don't believe in what you're doing. It's like, well, hey, here's so-and-so and so-and-so. Check them out, right? And they'll go, oh, okay. Well, there's some proof, right? So that's what this is. It helps validate, amen, to some degree. So guess what? They walk in. They're not just walking in empty-handed. They're walking in with a miracle. But man, this thing just keeps blowing my heart up on this. Listen, if you are the miracle, do your part. Amen. If you're sitting in church, you're sitting in a ministry. Stop blaming everybody else for what church is to you. Right? Church is cold, church is quiet, church is this, they ain't a shouting church, they ain't a praising church, they ain't a weeping church. What are you? Amen? What are you? And listen, you might want to make a note on this. I am not here to gin up amens, shouts, running, anything. Obedience, right? Obedience. Because there's times that I want to shout, but there's times when I have to shut up. And there's times when I want to, yay, hallelujah, but I can't stop crying, okay? So you got to figure that out. There's no who you just, but if you're the miracle, golly, I love this. If y'all don't, I'm sorry for preaching the same thing over, but I'm going to be honest with you, I can't get over this. Because I'm seeing this is probably one reason in our country that the church has died out is because we've got miracles. Now, we've got called people, anointed people. We know what we're supposed to be doing, but we're not ministering to the right people. We're not seeing people saved. We're not seeing people delivered. And then we're not seeing them live it out in the church. I mean, we've taken for granted what happened to us. I've had the opportunity. I've been here a while now. I've walked with some of y'all. I've talked with some of y'all. I've rode with some of you. You've got miracle stories, but you're not participating as a miracle story, right? You're participating as, well, that was a long time ago, and it was great. No, you should still be kind of like, wow, this is pretty wild still. right? I ain't really got over where God found me, what God did, right? So I want y'all to see that. But after the miracle, after the running, the shouting, the leaping, I love what the fact is, they're still dealing with this, right? Peter looks around and he's like, I love how Peter thinks. He looks around and he goes, man, this guy's drawing a crowd. They need to hear about Jesus. Make a note right here, mental note. I keep saying mental note because I don't see anybody with a piece of paper or pen, except my wife. No, okay, so I didn't see it. Okay, God, I feel so bad about that. I'll apologize to none of you. Thank y'all for coming and doing it. Golly, I feel bad now. Should I repent? Let's think. All right, where was I at with that point? All right. God got me off my thought. Make a mental note about what? Goodness gracious. Y'all embarrassed me. My face is red. All right, let's get back into it. Then Peter saw the, he saw the crowd, right? He's seen an opportunity, right? Listen, when you see an opportunity, I know what it was. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was trying to get those wheels back. You're never anywhere as a Christian by accident. You're never by accident around anybody. That doesn't mean you have to witness to everybody, doesn't mean you have to shout to everybody, doesn't mean you have to tell everybody. But once God pricks your heart to do it, then yes. Amen? Once God says, when God says, yeah. Amen? You know what it's like? Can I explain this? You know what it's like? It's like a craving that won't go away even though you want it to go away. Amen? That's the best way to explain it. I've tried to talk. You're just like, well, they don't need to hear that right now. No, I mean, we're doing this. This is a whatever. This is a social thing. This is, we're at work. This is a, you know what I mean? But God is so cool. God is working on the other person as much as he's working on you. He's working on the other situation more than he's working on you. All he wants is your obedience, and he will work it out. And in the minute, most of the time, 99.9% of the time, the moment you start coming out with it, the other person's sitting over going. And even if they're cool, even if they're like, give you a rough exterior, that's even better sometimes. Oh, just leave me alone. I don't want to hear all that. That's the person who gets in their car and they're like, they're mad at you, but they're really not mad at you. They're wrestling with God, and you just let them wrestle. You just let them wrestle. God, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Just let them wrestle. Man, I love my dad. I had people, my dad, he would minister to me, and I would put on that group. Oh, would you just quit wearing me out with that? Just help me with what I need. Because I am helping you with what I need, but you know what? It ain't free. what I'm doing, I've used it since then. Well, he goes, what I'm doing is I'm giving you something that's mine, but what the cost of it is, you're going to hear what I have to say. And I needed the $100. I needed the help with the electrical. So guess what? I'm listening. And then guess what? I'm driving down the road, and I'm not wrestling with my dad. I'm wrestling with God. And God's a good wrestler. He will. Some of y'all think, well, he ain't never going to get my son, or he ain't never going to get my daughter, or he ain't never going to get this person. If you do your part, God is faithful to do his part. He will work on them, and he don't, time, distance, everything don't matter. Man, we are never, ever getting where I'm supposed to be tonight. There ain't no way. Man, I was every time I come on Wednesday, I'm thinking, man, that's a good 10-minute message. No in and out of here, no problem. And then I get here, and I'm like, God, that's 20 minutes on the first verse. And I'm thinking, man, these people, they're gluttons for punishment. Let's go a little bit further. Then God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I love when he does that because he reminds you he's the God of the living and not the God of the dead. And it reminds you that God never changes. The God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye, that means you, he put it personal, right? Whom you delivered up and denied in him in presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. God, did you see that right there? Man, I hate preaching everything. But did you see what he just said? He gives you a little glimpse into who Pilate was right there. Pilate was wanting to let him go, right? But you were determined, and guess what? God was determined too. Amen? Oh, y'all got to get that. Y'all get that later. But you denied the Holy One, man. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, that God took good record, and killed the Prince of Life. Underline that one right there. Prince of, he is the Prince of Life. The devil is the prince of the air of this world, but God is the Prince of Life. Hallelujah. Whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. They witnessed the resurrection. And his name through faith in his name hath made this. Okay, in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and now and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Okay, man, here's what. The man who had the paralytic situation, the miracle man, the man who ran, the man who shouted, the one who walked, the one who went into the temple and leaped and all the other stuff, right? He is now, guess what? He's not only physically not paralyzed, but he's emotionally, mentally, and spiritually not paralyzed. He's following the disciples. Amen? That's a choice. He didn't have to. He could have got at the gate called Beautiful and went the other way. He could have went to temple and then went, all right, I'm out of here. But he chose. He's staying with this guy right here, this guy with us. The miracle, man, the miracle is just standing there with him, man. Listen, stay close to what works. Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to the Word of God. Stay close in prayer. Stay in connection with the Holy Spirit. You got him inside of you, but then also stay close to God's people. And you're going to fight this your whole life. Because the devil, he wants to separate. I think the Bible says that he is a roaring lion going to and fro. Everything about lions does one thing. They separate. Separate. Sick, weak, lonely, old, whatever. They try to get them apart from the main group. That's their main goal, is to get you alone. Because if you're alone, no resources, no help, no plan, no protection, no surrounding, no wisdom. Got it? Because you're going to hear this, oh, well, I just some church people hurt. Listen to this. You're going to get hurt. Man, God, I wish somebody told me this. You're going to get hurt in every great relationship you have. Might as well mark it down. They hurt me. Well, praise God. Married couples hurt each other. Mothers, fathers hurt each other. Sons and daughters. Everybody hurts. You know what the difference is? Learning to heal. Learning to forgive. Learning to get over. Man, can I give y'all one more just blow you up right there? Just blow you up. Learn how to forgive somebody. Okay, and Kevin, that's Christianity 101. No, let me ask you this. Give somebody a pass for a bad day. When's the last time anybody does that? I mean, just say, bad day. Maybe they were tired. Maybe they were upset. Maybe something happened at work. Maybe something's going on in their life. Maybe, but you know what? I don't need an explanation. Golly, bum, I'm going to get in the Holy Ghost right here and have a fit. Just forgive them. And I mean, when I mean that, just say, I'm going to chalk this one up. They don't owe me an apology. They ain't got to come back and make it right. They ain't going to have to say the right thing or do the right thing. They ain't going to have to come hat in hand and say, oh my gosh, you're just going to say, you know what? Clean. Now, have you ever had somebody in your life like, man, I've got some wonderful people in my life and I've had bad days, said things, done things. And you know what? I've had to sit down and go, you know what? If I put them on a ledger, if I put them on a ledger, the good is amazing. And you got one bad, my goodness, that's what you call relationship. Amen? Man, that right there, we can go out of here tonight. And if we just live that little deal right there, we're going to be doing all right. If we'll just live that right there out. I'm telling you right now, teaching this whole time, that's as much Holy Spirit as I felt. There's so many things going on in church. It's just not willing to go, you know what? Let us give them a pass. Just give them a pass. Golly, man, I could just go home on that for me. But guess what? I'm not going to. John's like, come on, man, let's go. Verse 15. He didn't say that. I was just kidding. And he killed the Prince of Life. Where am I at? Goodness grace. His name through faith. And then 17, 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets, Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Okay. Oh, God, let me say this. Nothing caught God off guard. Amen? What he was saying is, y'all killed him. Y'all rejected him. You did it in ignorance. We've done a lot in ignorance. But he said, none of it. Zero. Zip. Caught God off guard. All the prophets were pointing to this. They were all telling you that he was going to Calvary to die on the cross. We just used you. We just used a vehicle to get him to Calvary. Okay? Why am I saying that? Nothing in this world ever catches God off guard. Nothing that's going on in 2021, God's going, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. I really didn't account for that. Amen? He's like, this is part of bringing it all to pass. He's looking at it from the Alpha and Omega point of view, beginning and end. Amen? We're just looking at it through our time, right? All right, let's go a little bit further. I'm trying to get somewhere. I want to show y'all some really cool stuff. Verse 19 is awesome. He preaches the same thing that everybody, that Jesus came, that John the Baptist came. Repent ye therefore. Just preach repentance. Just tell people to turn from their wicked ways because of the gospel. And be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, when Jesus comes back and refreshes us, you'll be a part of that. Even the ones who crucified him. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto your brethren like unto me, and him shall you hear all things. Whatsoever he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all thy kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. What he's saying right there is, God has given you a way to be sinless. Amen? By what he did at Calvary. He's giving you a way to have all your sins expunged. And when I say expunged, I mean like a legal record. Right? Like when you go to court and you're guilty and they say, we're going to expunge your record, it doesn't mean you weren't guilty. It just means they're covering the guilt. Okay? That's exactly what Jesus did at Calvary. His sacrifice for your sins. You might want to write that one down. His sacrifice for your sins. Let's go. I know I'm doing a lot of reading right here, but this is kind of the crux of this part of the series, and I just want to get it all in. I really feel led these last few verses. 12, 13, 14 will be huge for us. And as they spoke unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day, for it was now evening tide. Okay, stop right there for one stop. Do you see? They were going to temple to serve God. They seen the miracle. They went. They preached the gospel. People believed. We'll see that in a minute. But they got in trouble. Don't be afraid to get in trouble with Jesus. Amen? It's part of the process. It's part of the process. Most of the time, I'm not going to say this is going forward is going to be absolutely true. Most of the time, you're just going to get in trouble with people that don't like you anyway. Okay? All right? I didn't say they don't love you. I just said they don't like you a lot of times. All right, so don't be afraid to get in trouble. When you share the gospel, it does get you in trouble. It's good news, but it's only good news to people who believe it. Amen? When you first hear the gospel, it's an attack. Amen? It's an attack on who you are, right? And it hurts, but it does its work, right? Okay, I wanted y'all to see that. Let's go a little bit further. Oh, this is good. Why didn't I read one verse? One more verse. And they laid hands on them, put them in prison. Verse 4, howbeit many of them, God, look at this. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them were about 5,000. 5,000. The miracle guy done the miracle thing. He was doing his thing. the called people, the anointed people, done their thing. Amen? God done their thing. Amen? God done his thing, sorry. God done his thing, right? But they're in the prison now. Would you go to prison for one night for 5,000 people? Be saved, to be saved. Man, I'd go to jail for a month for 5,000 people to be saved. Golly, I hope God don't hold me accountable on that one. I just said that. There's something going on that read. It's probably not recording or something. But anyway, all right. Do you know, but that is that not crazy? I said that, and I'm sitting there thinking, God's got a good sense of humor. If I'm down in the county lockup, I'm going to be like, oh, God, gotcha, you know. 5,000. Peter's preached. Now listen, in the very book of Acts, in the very beginning of the book of Acts, Peter's preached two times, 8,000 people. 8,000 people been saved. And all he did was look for an opportunity. He looked out and said, you know what? This is a pretty good opportunity to share the gospel. That it really ain't that hard. It's everything that God calls us to do or wants us to do is not hard to do. It's just hard to do because it goes against who we are in our nature. The system's not hard. The gospel's not hard. The concept is not hard. All right? It's just doing it. Amen? Just sharing it. Right? But if you'll be obedient, it'll flow. It'll flow. It'll flow like water. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers, elders, and scribes. You know you're doing good when you got the elders and the rulers and the scribes on you. And Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, the Alexander, as many as were in the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, by what power or by what name have you done this? Well, how'd you do this? Right? This is just a setup. They were in the hole. They're in trouble, but they're not in trouble. God just needed another audience, right? He just needed them. Sometimes we think we're in trouble. God just looking for another audience. Okay, watch this. Then Peter, filled with what? Filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the peoples and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Man, that's awesome. He's sharing what he's supposed to share. He's being obedient. The lame man's still there. He got through in jail too. He's like, man, I didn't have any idea that this was going to be my life from now on. But it beats laying in front of the gate lame. Amen? With my expectations right here. Some of y'all need to raise your expectations on God. Amen? Listen, I want to do greater things for God. I do. I want to do great things for God. We're living in the hardest times ever. My God, I know, but I want to do greater things for God than not, you know? I don't want people to say, well, that was the worst generation. I already feel bad because I think my generation let the whole country down, the whole world down. Because I want to at least get something back. Amen? Y'all think I'm crazy when I say, but that's true. That's absolutely true. Let's go a little bit further. Be it known unto you to all the people of Israel by the name. Okay, verse 11. This is the stone. Oh, he's talking about Jesus right here. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become of the head of the corner. Ain't God cool like that? You know what he just said? He said, you threw the stone out. You rejected the stone, but God made it the cornerstone. Ain't God cool like that? And what they did is they rejected him and said they put him outside of Jerusalem, outside, and crucified him outside the city. But guess what God said? I'll just make him the corner. What the cornerstone is, it's not just the foundation. It's the thing that holds it all together. Amen? It's the thing. This is where we started the whole thing right here. This is it. Ain't that good? The cornerstone of your faith is Jesus Christ. The cornerstone of your foundation is Jesus Christ. Man, it's your all in all. When everything else has gone away, you'll still have Jesus. Amen? I remember late in my father's ministry, he had to come home from the prison, right? And he was really upset because he said, that's who I am. I am a minister to people in prison. That's what he said. And it kind of is heartbreaking. You know what I'm saying? That's who I am. You know what I told him? I said, no, Dad, that's not who you are. You are a child of God. That's who you are. You're just as important to God right here as you are in the prison. What you're doing right here is just as important to God. God loves you and uses you just as much here as He will there. Amen? Fact. Because sometimes, man, God, I feel it. Sometimes, men especially, we kind of put titles on who we are. Our worth is what we do. Amen? That might be the case in the world, but that's not the case to God. God sees you in a relationship. He sees you as a son. He sees your value through what Christ did for you at Calvary. Hey, man, preacher, that's good. Man, listen, you're going to have to pep talk one day. So one day, we're going to have to pep talk ourselves through that. I don't care. You might be laying in a room by yourself and ain't nobody else going to help you. You're going to have to say, you know what, God loves me just right here on my spot, right here by myself. Amen? I ain't got to be preaching a message. I ain't got to be teaching a class. I ain't got to be winning souls. I ain't got to be building houses. I ain't got to be coming up with a formula. I ain't got to be, praise God, He loves me. He saved me, even in this spot right here. Man, there was another great, great, great minister. One of the Bible college, done all this stuff on the radio, Moody Radio Broadcast, was the president of Moody Radio Broadcast, and his wife got sick. I mean, down to the point where he had to meet every one of our needs. And guess what? He had a pity party. I can't remember his name. This is like 10 years, maybe 15 years ago when I heard this. He's pushing her around the block, right? He's pushing her around the block, and she's physically unable to do anything, and she's in a wheelchair, and he's pushing around the block, and in his mind, she goes, honey, I love you. Thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for giving up your job. Thank you for, you know, I know you want to be on the road. I know you want to do the things you're doing, but I'm so grateful. And he goes, oh, baby, I love you, and I do it. And he sincerely loved his wife, but he was thinking, man, I am useless to the kingdom of God. Here I am, I'm useless. I mean, God, this had to happen to us. And he said, as he was going down the road, and he was like, God, he goes, do you even care about us anymore? Do you even worry about us anymore? What does this look like to you, God? And he said, there was a homeless man just shuffling down the road, coming towards him. And as he got closer, he heard the man go, that's beautiful. I'm about to lose it. I'm sorry. He's like, that's beautiful. That's good. That's nice. And he got a little bit closer, and the man said, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's nice. I love that. He got a little closer and goes, beautiful. That's wonderful. That's nice. I love that. And about the fourth time he heard it, the Holy Spirit got on him, and he said, God, that's you, ain't it? And he said, yeah, this is beautiful. This is nice. This is good. I love this. This is what I made you for. This is what I designed you for. Amen? Some of the greatest things you'll ever do, nobody will ever see it. Nobody will ever hear it. The greatest times I've ever had with God have been with me and God alone. Amen? That is a fact. Man, this has been a good night so far. Verse 12, this is a great verse. Let me slow down and get these last three verses. Watch this. Neither is there salvation in any other name, in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We get the greatest verse out of some of the greatest trouble and out of the greatest healing and the greatest obedience. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, hallelujah, they marveled and they took knowledge of them and they had been with Jesus. You know what they just said? These are ignorant men, unlearned men, but the only thing that we know about them is they had been with Jesus. Listen, I don't care what anybody ever says about me, and I don't know what they say about, but wouldn't it be nice if somebody could say this about you? All I know is she's been with Jesus. All I know is he's been with Jesus. It erases all the ignorance and all the unlearned if you've been with Jesus, because you know what? You learn from him. It's amazing. Oh, man. And in verse 14, just because I wanted to get it in here, because let me just close it as he's still here. And beholding the man, if you're looking at somebody, they're there. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, if is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Did you see it? He's still standing there being that miracle. Some of you just have to show up to let people know that God's still good. Amen? But they went through that, but they looked at him and said, "You know what? We can't argue with this guy. We can argue. Their doctrine's all over here. They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about no more sacrifice, no more temple, no more law, no more nothing. But you know what? When's the last time that we had taken somebody who was lame at the gate, and they're standing there, and man, he's just, man, 2 chapters and 14 verses later, there's the paralyzed man. He's been at the gate. He's been in the temple. He's been on the road. He's been in jail. And now he's before one of the most prestigious religious groups there are, and he's just standing there. Yeah, I was paralyzed." And they're like, "We've got to let him go. We can't argue with this. This is a notable miracle." I don't know why I'm standing on that, but I just want you to realize that, praise God, your testimony and you showing up is very important to God. And the people we minister to, and the people we witness to, and the people we disciple, they're very important. Because one day when you're wanting to say, "Well, I've done this or done that," you might not be able to say something, but maybe you'll be able to point at somebody in this church and go, "They're here. They're here. They're here." You understand? Get it? I can't really tell you who I am or what I did, but I've got some people that God's allowed me to work with and work for. Amen? Let's all stand.